Paulie, you're coming to Maine again, and everybody here very excited about that. Three appearances in Maine. Why do you keep coming back here during our best weather of the year?
Because I love those tourists. That's what I like. I like the slower traffic, and I like the tourists. Maine is a beautiful state. I do often come during mud season. I don't know why I lucked out this summer and got so many prime dates, but I do often come during mud season only because I feel that people need it then.
Well, there's no question about it. Yeah, and mud season for us is about 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. So it also gives me, a lot of opportunities of dates. I love Maine. It's a fun and beautiful place, and I can't wait to get there.
How much time do you spend on the road these days?
I do about 90 dates a year for two reasons. The first is it really is the best job in the entire world. It is so much fun. It is emotionally healing. It's uplifting to be in a room full of people laughing, especially, I think, in these times where there's just so much friction between people and you're not... I don't know. I think we found out something about a lot of our citizens that may be true but isn't good news. And so it's just really great to be together laughing. And the second reason is debt. I have a tremendous amount of debt. My son asked me one day, he had the nerve to ask me what he got when I died. Oh. I said, debt.
It's good to pass something on to the next generation.
Yes, exactly. I do have a legacy. Not only do I work a lot, but I work, I always seem to be going West Coast, because that's where I live. I live in Santa Monica. But I always seem to be going West Coast to East Coast, which, because of the loss of time and how long it takes to get there, my flight times are very early in the morning. I'm often at the airport at, I don't know, one day, not too long ago, like a couple months ago, I was there at, I think, 4:30 in the morning, and I bumped into Marilu Henner.
Like you do.
Yeah. It was the oddest thing. And I had forgotten about this unusual characteristic that she has. Do you remember what it was?
She never forgets anything
that's
happened.
That's exactly
right.
So I walked past her, kind of bleary-eyed, how one does. I was in the ladies' room, as was she. I walked past her, and I thought, boy, I know that woman from somewhere. And I come out again, and she says, Paula. And I'm like, she goes, Marilu. And I go, oh, of course, yes, hi. She told me the two dates on which we had met. And I remembered one of them because it was on The Tonight Show. But the other one, I remembered it when she told me about it, but I wouldn't have remembered it in a million years. And we chatted for a little bit, and it was just, phenomenal, phenomenal memory thing. So now I go over to the TSA, which normally I fly through. Generally speaking, in every form, in the old days when I drank, or in every form of exhaustion, no matter what, I managed to make it through the airport. I don't know, it's like muscle memory or something. I just do what you're supposed to do. But on this particular morning, I go through the metal detector, and I still have my phones in my pocket. I never do that. But now I go back, I put the phones on the treadmill thing. I go through, and then they say, well, you have something else in your pocket. I go back through, I empty out whatever it was. I go. Now I leave, and someone goes, oh, ma'am, are these your phones here? And I go, oh, my gosh, yes, they are. And I go back, and then someone else finds my ID. I never forget stuff at the airport. Never. And so I have a new theory that the reason Marilu Henner's memory is so good, because she hugged me in the bathroom.
Oh, that's it.
She sucks the memory out of everyone else.
It makes perfect sense to me. Look what she did to Tony Danza.
Guy can't remember a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got a new show now, I guess, and apparently they have to stop every few seconds to give him his lines. I'm telling you, Marilyn Lanner, a charming, delightful woman, has been sucking the memory out of everyone she meets.
Well, it's good
you see her. You wave from a distance.
I will keep a safe distance. There's no question about it. All right, I have to ask you about a couple things. We're talking, by the way, with Paula Poundstone at the Criterion in Bar Harbor this Saturday. You have 14 cats. That's an accurate number. And can you distinguish one from another?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yeah. There's two orange ones that I used to get confused sometimes. And sometimes from a distance, there's a couple of gray guys that I get confused. But no. They often have distinctive behaviors, but they also, look different. Plus, they have name tags. Now, they don't like it because it sticks to their fur, but you have to do what you have to do.
Oh, sure.
I have 14 cats.
So, like, hello, my name is Fluffy?
Yeah.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Now,
I'll tell you something. I like how calmly you said that I have 14 cats because I can't tell you how many people have kind of a judgmental reaction to the fact that I have 14 cats. They're a little bit appalled by it.
Well,
and, by the way, there are days where it's a little bit appalling, but I do, a lot of times, I get that sort of thinly veiled judgment, like, how did you get 14 cats? I can tell you exactly how I got 14 cats, which is I had 16 and two died. That's how I got 14 cats.
Well, but I also assume you have 14 in a house. They're not in a sack as you walk down the street talking to yourself.
Precisely, yes. They're in a house. They're sort of, we've been having a heat wave for a while now, and therefore they're kind of draped over the furniture. And, you know, in truth, when anybody sees me that knows I have that many cats and they'll say, like, oh, I have six cats or, oh, I have five cats, I always say, stop right there. Don't get any more. Because, in truth, all I ever do is sift. I'm taking a break right now from sifting, but as soon as I'm done, I have to get up and sift again.
Now, I hope this isn't a sore subject. We love your work on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, but according to some information I've been given, you have lost more games than anybody else in the history of the show, but you have an explanation.
I do hold the record for losses, which, by the way, is a record of some sort. I made it up on the board. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a weekly news quiz show made by NPR, and it airs on public radio. And so no one ever thinks ill of NPR. You know, it's so squeaky clean.
Mm.
It's the doping. The others cheat. There's steroids involved. That's my theory, anyways.
Well, you can see that when you look at Mo Rocca.
Oh, man. Yeah, the guy is so clearly juicing. Really puffed up.
And I think he's cupping.
You should see him lift stuff. Sometimes he carries Peter Sagal out onto stage, and it's awkward.
I think he's cupping, too. You can see those big red spots on him.
What is that? What is this? What are the spots?
It's called cupping. It's some sort of ancient practice of using suction cups, I guess, to improve blood flow and things like that. It's like acupuncture.
Oh, so is that the Michael Phelps circle thing?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not just bad tattooing.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was like, yeah, I did. I thought it was tattoos of some sort.
So, Paula,
boy, I hate tattoos, by the way.
I found this thing online on Comedy Central. You're on the list, and you made the list, which is great news, of the top 100 comedians of all time. These things, of course, are very subjective, but I notice you're just ahead of Kevin James. What are you doing to keep him at bay?
I don't even know who he is.
I don't either. Is he he was on one of those bad CBS sitcoms, I think.
That ran forever, and they keep showing on the airplane, too, I think.
I think so, yeah.
Is he the guy from, like, Mall Cop? Is that him?
Yes, that's right. Paul Blart, yeah. That's why I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I don't. You know, I've never seen him in my life. I just, I don't know. I mean, someone else, I'm out there working. That's got to be what it is. I don't know who comes up with such a list, but it, really, since the time that it's been several years since the list was made, and so I imagine there's comics out there that weren't even there when the list was made, which I think is going to shake it up a bit. I love the idea that they talk about the best comics of all time, as if anybody living today is all that familiar with the comics, in a generation before them. And, by the way, does that include the Neanderthals?
Right. There were some funny, although they weren't really stand-ups at that point, were they?
Oh, there were a lot of stand-ups back then. Yeah, I mean, vaudeville was essentially stand-up, I think, for guys. And guys used to a long, long, long time ago, I mean, before I was a comic, guys would go into strip clubs and ask if, it would, you know, could they do a few minutes in between the ladies? Yeah, I mean, that's what Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin did.
Right.
Jay Leno may have even done that, although I can't swear to it. It just makes me laugh that there's a list of all time.
Mm. Hey, okay. As a parent, it had to be a real thrill for you to be involved with Inside Out.
Oh, you know what? As a performer, it was great. It was a thrill to be involved with Inside Out because, well, first of all, Pixar is the gold standard of animation at this time, they're not just animation. I mean, their storytelling is so brilliant, and the stories they come up with to tell. And this story is the inner life, mostly, of an 11-year-old girl. So the stars are her emotions. And I was lucky enough to get to play a little teeny character in her brain. I work in the memory. I'm one of the forgetters. it was just so much fun and so much fun to be associated. But what I started to say was, first of all, to introduce in this very comedic way, because it's a really funny movie, to introduce in this very comedic way to, young people, the importance of emotional well-being and emotional balance. I think it's a brilliant idea. But the other thing is, there's tons of adults who don't know that.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's kind of what the film is about. It's about the importance of sadness in happiness.
Mm.
Or in order to be happy, the importance of experiencing the entire range of emotions. And it does it brilliantly. Yeah, so it was. It was an honor. It was fun. I mean, the truth is, the role that I played, which was very funny, would have been funny no matter who was in it, because it was just a funny conceit. It was a funny idea. And the lines were funny, but anybody could have done them. So
yeah.
I felt really lucky that they allowed me to do it.